Welcome back to season 2 of Industry Herb. This week we got the chance to talk with the rapper Evan the Redheaded. One of my best friends first introduced me to Evan's music in a post-breakup playlist. She included the song Your Daddy Has Green Eyes and told me it's impossible to be sad when you're listening to this song. She was not wrong. Evan's goofy vocals and bassy instrumentals were and are the easiest way to instantly lift the mood. If you've heard his music, I'm sure you agree. Evan's songs are an art in the practice of not taking oneself too seriously. He dropped a mixtape a few months ago called Red Orange. The cover art, the word green, written in yellow text over a purple background. Evan's music is chock full of wit like that, as well as bangers that you cannot help but get hyped to. We got a chance to hop on a Zoom call with Evan to hear a little bit about that mixtape, his completely unserious tone, and why we need more playgrounds for adults. Let's go to that conversation now.
How's it going?
Hey, I like the zoom it. What's up?
Not much, man. You?
Dude, I had to set up in my good old parents' room. It's I made the bed. They didn't even make the bed. That was me. Yeah, I'm good. Besides the worldwide pandemic, but
right.
Yeah.
Do you want to just start in on the questions?
Or... Dive right in. Let's do it.
So we just wanted to start off with if you could talk a little bit about Red Orange, just a little bit, like how long did it take, the concept behind it. We last night we were like looking, and I guess we had never looked at the album cover before, and we laughed for a really long time about that. It was very funny.
Thank you. God, it is pretty goofy, isn't it? I don't think there's much of an elaborate scheme with that one, with Red Orange as like a project. The cover though was the real genius. That was kind of, I put all my energy into the cover, and then the songs just kind of fell where they did. But yeah, it's kind of just a collection of songs from all over the place. More mixtape, more of a mixtape feel. I kept calling it a group of songs, but it is a mixtape. I mean, it's whatever. It's a playlist, it's a mixtape. It's real cash. It's real cash. I didn't really want to do, it was kind of just a brain dump so that I wouldn't have to think about a cohesive message or a cohesive idea, right? But I think that through just making those sort of one-offs or those singles, it ended up having like a cohesive sound in a way, just because it's me making the shit. But I don't know. It's just kind of a bunch of different goofy songs. And the main point was to just make bangers. Like, I just wanted people to laugh. So you got Red Orange. It's pretty goofy.
So how long were you working on that?
I don't know. Probably, if you took the time that I put into it and you squeak, it would probably be like a couple weeks worth of work, but it was spaced out over like the better part of a year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And while that was all happening too, I was working on a whole different project that was a lot more cohesive. But that for now is entombed. That is time capsuled for the moment.
Yeah.
It was too cohesive?
Just a little too cohesive. I don't think y'all were ready. I don't think anyone, no. I just actually got lazy and didn't wrap it up. But so then Red Orange.
So, moving on to a little bit about your like recording process, like what kind of equipment do you use? Do you mix and master all your stuff, or do you like work with other people for that?
Yes. I did not master Red Orange. My good friend, God, I don't know if he wants me to say his name.
You don't have to. It's okay.
I don't know like how these things work, man. People are saying their rap names in real life, and it's so weird. I didn't master. I don't know how to master. I know it's like the process of making it as loud as you can before it clips, right? Something like that. But I don't, I can turn it up a little bit, but I can't get it, you know, like roaring like he did for me. But the mixing was me and the production was me, except for Your Daddy Has Green Eyes. I was the only one I didn't do. But yeah, other than that. And the things I record on, I'm actually using it right now. This is my little Mikey phone. This is, wait, hold on. I've got the, oh God. Oh, that's it.
Wow.
There she is. Wow.
Beautiful.
I record on Logic Pro and I record in my room.
It's the best way to go.
That's all I do.
So how long have you been like producing stuff yourself?
Ooh, I gotta give a big shout out right now to Miss Kirshner, my sixth grade English teacher, because she had us do a book project where we made a CD track list based off of a book that we read that year. And I read a book called Sword Birds. It's about birds attacking each other.
Okay. With knives or with swords? I'm curious.
Some knives, some okay. swords. Some of them had like just like a built-in sort of talon mechanism. Oh. All
right. Some variety there.
It was really violent for a sixth grader. But it was a great little project. She made everyone make a little album cover and just kind of a fake track listing. But I was like, well, I'm gonna make an actual album based on Swordbirds. And so I went on GarageBand and made 12 beats based on these 12 chapters of the book. So that's when I started, was back in sixth grade. And yeah, I've been pretty into it since then.
That's awesome.
Sixth grade, baby! What were you doing in sixth grade? You were doing hopscotch! Come on! Come on! So was I, though. So was I.
Since you do most of it yourself, do you still, like, collaborate with other people, or are you kind of just, like, isolated in your creativity?
Yeah, I love working with the peoples, with my peoples. Like, I really want to do as much with other people as humanly possible at some point. The project I was working on prior to Red Orange was a lot more of a roster. I think every other song had someone on it. If like the whole first half had people on it, and then yeah, so I'm big into it. I get picky, but I know that the point of it, I feel like, is to collaborate. I feel like music is very, like, what is it without each other, you know? But really, so for me, yeah, the collaboration is big. I haven't had too many features yet that I've put out, but I have a lot cooking. I have a lot cooking right now, so I'm excited to share some of that. But yeah, I love working with people.
When you bring someone onto a song, is it like a, like you have like an idea of what you want them to do on that song, or do you kind of just like let them loose with their ideas?
I think I will give someone, it's funny, I feel actually like a D-bag a lot of times when I send songs, because I know that a person is gonna sound mwah, chef's kiss on it, but I'm picky. Like, I'll make you rewrite a verse sometimes, like, but it all depends, right? It's like, okay, if I know this person is gonna sound good, like, I'll have a beat, I'll be like, oh, this person, this is gonna be glorious, so send it to them. And yeah, sometimes I'll say, hey, could you do like a little verse, maybe base it around this? Or sometimes I'll just let them go because I know they're gonna be hilarious or whatever. But yeah, I'm a prick. I'm a prick when it comes to the expectations. I don't know. It's fun though. It's fun getting people's, you know, like not saying anything and just letting them go crazy on it. That's when you usually get the best stuff.
Yeah. So then your lyrics, a lot of times they just seem like a like funny stream of consciousness sort of. Is that accurate, you would say? Or is there like a writing and revision process?
I definitely go to the words with some sparkle of an idea of what I'm going for. But you're right. It does just kind of ooze. It just oozes and it flies. I just let it go. So yeah, it is very stream of consciousness. And God, I don't really have that many serious songs out right now, but when I write more seriously, it's a little more focused. In fact, it's like running a mental marathon. It's like doing a mental triathlon. I feel exhausted after, because I'll be staring at the wall for like 2 hours trying to finish a song sometimes, you know, or sometimes it takes 5 minutes. But usually when I'm trying to make the song about something, it's going to take a little extra oomph. So yeah, mental gymnastics though. it's not always easy. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. That was good. You're good.
So how would you describe your music? You said it's funny. You said other songs are more focused, but like, if someone was just like, what do you sound like, that had never heard your music before, what would you tell them?
I would tell them it's like if Devo made rap music. It would be like if Kanye made Yeezus first.
Okay.
Or like if Tyler, the Creator, wasn't gay.
Okay.
Something like that. What I usually tell them, because they say, what kind of music is it? I just go, you don't even want to know. I'm just like, it's weird. And that's all I'll give them.
We were writing this question and we were like talking about it a little bit. And originally I had it worded like, I said that your music is bizarre. And my dad was walking by and he's like,
he's not, don't call his music bizarre.
Do you think he thinks he's bizarre? Like, you don't want to offend him. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure he knows.
I'm eccentric. It's true. They popped out a weird one. My mom and pop. They popped out a weird one. And I think they're getting more prouder and prouder of that every year.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we got a cuckoo bird. But they like me. They like it. I like it.
That's good.
I'm bizarre.
So people probably ask you, like, who are your influences? Like, if anyone.
I grew up. I honestly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without my mom and her 6-CD rotating stereo system. Like, this thing is this big honker that we had in our living room. And God, I grew up like in my diapers listening to like funk music, 80s synth pop, 90s rap, classic rock. Duh. Like, what? So lots of just like weird shit. I mean, I almost can't even pinpoint anything.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I started making music pretty young, and there's always been just a giant hairball of music around me at all times. But God, like every time we were in the car, if my sister was with us, we're listening to like pop radio or like country pop from like the 2000s, which by the way, you need to go back to. It's so good. Dixie Chicks and Tim McGraw and shit, like, or when I was driving with my uncle, he would always play Beastie Boys when I was really young. I remember being in I remember being in my diapers, dude, playing with Playmobil toys. They're like Yes. Yes.
I love Playmobil.
Yes. Playmobil with Sir Mix-a-Lot, I Like Big Butts, just like on repeat. Like, me and my cousins loved that song, so we would just be like playing with Legos and Playmobil and like my anaconda don't what. But yeah, just everything. I don't know, but especially the sounds I kind of go for in my music are very like, Devo is my favorite band, so Devo, Bjork, Led Zeppelin, those are the three mainly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, you mentioned, like, you know, you've admitted your music is pretty weird. Did, when you were first starting, did people, like, not doubt you, but, like, were they skeptical that the sound that you have would be able to go somewhere, or were people, like, with it from the beginning?
That's a great question. I don't even know, because I was showing people stuff when I had study center my freshman year of high school. Study center was like the boys, you know, like we would like tech deck and we would like, and just generally cause a ruckus. And that was the class that I started, like, that was the portal. That was Pandora's box opening, because that's okay. When I showed other people what I was making. And I had never done that before. And when I showed people, like, my friends, my songs when I was a freshman, it was just, like, hilarious. Like, we were just trying to make each other laugh. So I was just creating these just inappropriate songs. And then nothing's changed. And then... but then, actually, when I was a junior in high school, I teamed up with my dude, Lem. And for 2 years, we dropped two projects, actually. They're still on the internet somewhere. I'm not going to tell anybody where they are. Like, if you know, you know. But they're hilariously different. They are so different, y'all. Like, what I'm making now is so different from what I used to make. I was, like, lyrical, spiritual, individual type rap. It was embarrassing. But it was also pretty lit, honestly. Maybe I'll give you guys the link just so you can see. It's pretty funny. But the point being, yeah, I was making really different music. And then we went our separate ways, me and my friend Lem, and started making solo stuff. And that's where kind of this Evan the Redheaded was born. This character. So, and then once that started, I don't know. I know that everybody knows it's weird. And I think it's one of those things, like, you like it or you don't. But I think I've been so blessed. Like, people are so nice and supportive. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's beautiful. I think for the most part, I've gotten mostly positive about what I'm making. And it's glorious.
We'll be right back to the interview after a brief message from our sponsor.
Okay, so you have a clothing line, right?
I do, kind of. Oh, you just reminded me that it existed.
My friend told me about it, and then I was like, oh, we could ask him something about this. Like, that would be an interesting question. And I was trying to, like, do my homework so I could have, like, a question that made sense, and I just don't even understand. Like, so do you make the clothes?
Yeah. So we're talking about food, yeah?
Yeah.
Food. Okay. Yes. So I don't make the shirts.
Well,
I
right,
buy
but
the
you
shirts.
You put the felt on, right?
And then I sew felt on them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took a sewing class in college. That's how I learned how to sew.
So
yeah.
Do you do that, like, with other people, or is that just you?
That's just me. I've had my friends help me, like, cut some of the letters out from time to time. But, yeah, just kind of one of those things that I found myself busy with. And it's really gone off the deep end, although I've sold 2 shirts this past week, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, everybody's just sitting at home, and they're like, what's
everyone's
this?
Sitting around. That's what I thought. Yeah, I was like, okay, it must be the quarantine. Blame it on the quarantine. But, Yeah, I want to pick that back up eventually, but I'm so geeked about the music right now.
Did you design that website?
Yes. Yep.
Because that's really cool.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, it's a Wix thing. It's a Wix blank template, and then I just made it as stupid as I could.
Well, you get to like move all the little pieces, and I was sitting there just like moving. I was like, fun. I don't know what this means, but I'm moving these letters right
Maybe
now.
Maybe I'll unlock a secret shirt. That would be cool.
Well, I mean, yeah, you kind of honestly just answered this, but we were gonna say like is music like your main thing, or are there other areas you want to explore? But as you said, you're pretty geeked about.
Yeah,
music,
I'm pretty geeked. I'm pretty nerded out. Music is the thing, dude. Music's the thing. It's the one thing that I just never get bored of. So it's for sure I would call it my main slice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. But boy, do I want to do a bunch.
Like, it seems like you, like, have just so many creative outlets. And it's just, like, all over the place.
I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Like, it's just one of those things. Like, if you have a creative sort of heart, like, if there's a compass in your heart and it tends to be a little more on the creative, wacky side, it's hard sometimes to, like, just like settle down and do one thing. But music definitely is the one thing that I could always do. But then, you know, it's just like all sorts of stuff. I think it would be really cool one day to do like a kid's book or a comic book or something, you know, or I want to, you know what I really want to do though? On some real is I want to make an adult playground. So think about this.
Okay.
Stay with me.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So where are the playgrounds for adults?
I guess they don't really exist. I don't know.
So that's all I'm going to say about that. But I mean, just imagine huge playgrounds, huge, giant, like 100-foot slides. That's scary. That's terrifying. That's what we need.
Yeah.
So so what I'm trying to do is become a rock star, and then I can buy and build.
Do the playground thing on the side.
Yeah.
So you said you went to college. What did you major in college?
I did not graduate. I went for 2 years, and then I pulled. I mean, you gotta do it. You gotta do it, especially if you're you gotta drop out of college.
Rite of passage.
Right. So yeah, I was going for video.
Okay. Did you do all your like the music video stuff?
Yeah, I did most of my music videos. Hannah Mendel did "Your Daddy Has Green Eyes," that video, the black and white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Annie Nolker has helped me shoot all of these for the most part. But yeah, I'm definitely in the trenches on the videos.
Awesome.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I actually wanted to do for a long time music videos for other artists. That was going to be my
shit. Yeah.
But then I was like, I just want to do my own. But I will here and there. You'll see my name on some stuff. Just because I like to help out. Like, if I love a dude's song, I'll be like, can I do the video for this song?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that. So I have done videos for local acts and such, but what was I saying? I don't know. Yeah, I was just ranting, just going on a tangent.
So do you get to play shows?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't get to right now.
Yeah, that's what we were gonna ask, like, how this quarantine
mess.
Has affected you. I know you dropped the coronavirus freestyle.
To the dismay of the world. Yeah, shows, man. I was barely doing shows before the coronavirus epidemic. So yeah, it was kind of few and far between. And I was going to ramp that up a little more, especially because I was about to move to L.A.
Oh.
And so I was gearing up to go out west in April. which is this month.
Which is now.
and that's just not, yeah, that's yeah. not a part of the picture right now. So I was going to do some shows before I left. I was going to try to do some, like, I don't know, like a string of house shows or something. Mm-hmm. Like something just ratchet and just gross. but that didn't pan out, so we're just hunkering down for now. But yeah, I don't think I've been creatively, if anything, this whole situation is this really unique opportunity. And it's really like a horrible way to get to this point, but the fact that we have sort of, I'm in Ohio where everything's locked down until at least the end of April right now.
Yeah.
So everything's closed and we're supposed to stay inside and whatnot. And I live with my parents, so I'm especially like careful about everything. And I haven't hung out with anyone in like three and a half weeks now. Like I've just been really quarantining. But so I'm presented with this unique opportunity to kind of be just void of any distraction, mm-hmm. you know? And I got laid off from my job because of all of this too. So, you know, can't go to a job, can't go hang out with friends. Like, there's nothing to do but be in this limbo.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys feel it too. It's like kind of this weird
yeah.
blanket. You know, it's yeah. like this weird blanket feeling, like we're in this strange space. But I'm using that opportunity to just really like go crazy. Like, I just want to go crazy and see what happens. You know, I want to go super hard into why I'm making the music and just put all my energy into the music and hanging out with my mom and dad.
Yeah.
You know, and cooking and enjoying things. But if I'm not doing that, I'm going to be in my room, like, just going crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited in that regard, I guess.
We had to cut this interview down. There was 10 minutes at the end where we were just talking with Evan as though we had known him our whole life. He excels as a conversationalist, and it was very easy for us to forget we were interviewing him. He overflows with creativity and has so many different outlets, as he expressed in the interview. You can never be exactly sure what you're going to see or hear next from Evan the Redheaded, but you can be sure that it's going to be good. This episode of Industry Herb was produced by Ned Kitchmenda and edited by Lainey Kitchmenda. Huge thanks to Evan the Redheaded for coming on the show. Intro music is Stay Positive by Evan the Redheaded and will be linked below along with Evan's music and socials. Make sure to check him out. Our outro song is by OK Thanks Baby and will also be linked in the description. Graphic design for this episode was done by Maddie Roth and Liam Fitzsimmons and logo design by Andre Frew. Make sure to follow Industry Herb on Instagram and check out our new Season 2 playlist on Spotify with songs by artists we've interviewed. There may even be hints about upcoming interviews. Check it out with the link that we have in the description. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week for another interview on Industry Herb.